This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
This is the WMJ Sportsline, a longtime tradition dating back to 1979 when the station first signed on. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. We have flipped the calendar to February, and the school year is flying by. And I know we already start the wrestling postseason today around the state, just a couple of weeks away from girls basketball postseason, then boys basketball postseason after that. And then I think later this month, the first official day of baseball and softball practice, I believe, is Monday, February the 26th. All right, so I know later today, the Eagles try to leave the Lincoln Trail Conference by winning the tournament title. We'll have the championship game tonight with Princeville, which I think should be a pretty good game. And then they turn around, right, and play Tuesday in conference play back in Aledo. So what about the route for Princeville coming to Aledo? Did they have to play at Joy?
Well, Joy, too. They played Joy once. But, yeah, for them, I mean, you talk about they would have, from last Saturday to this coming Tuesday, five trips to either Aledo or Joy for Princeville. So, yeah, they're really racking up, like, the miles for that school. I remember when I was in school 1 year, the conference tournament was in Princeville, and that was absolutely miserable from our perspective. So I'm sure for them, it's a pretty brutal drive over and over and over.
Well, and this is what I can say again about when we've had these debates about conference affiliation, and I've long told people I was a supporter of the move with the track and being associated with the rivals that all the kids are familiar growing up with, right? Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Orion. And people would always throw out in the conference affiliation that were opposed to the move, they'd always throw out Mendota and St. Bede.
Who you don't have to play, mind
but,
you.
Yeah. But they never give the example of the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament, boys or girls. They always say, well, it's just one trip. No, it's not. It's five trips on the outer edge if that year that's the host. So when Mercer or West Central host the LTC tournament, it's a long trip for all of those other LTC schools over a week or a month or a year, however long the tournament is, when the weather is an issue. And it's the same thing on the far eastern edge of the league when Princeville or Anawan host the girls basketball tournament for Stark is in Wyoming. And you're making a trip four or five times.
Right. Well, I know we always have these suggestions on how they could make that conference tournament better. But one for me is like, I just feel because of what you're saying, they should have it in like a centralized location. And I know that like talking with some people this year, it's like everyone who hosts it like loses money every year too. So someone probably wouldn't want to host it every year. But I just think like last night, the semifinals, I mean, or I should say Thursday night, the semifinals, I mean, the crowds were terrible. They just were. I mean, you know, because Princeville had to come all the way here, Weathersfield, Anawan.
And you can't make those trips every other night.
No. It's just, and so it didn't feel like, I mean, those games normally, you know, they have stakes and whatever, but it didn't feel like it this year because, like I said, like Princeville had, you know, maybe 15 people there. Anawan had maybe 15. Weathersfield probably even less than that. So
All right, so then the matchup is a good game, though, tonight. Hopefully people can get out. I think Princeville's a good team. They you know, I saw they played Illini Bluffs early in the year. It's a pretty competitive game.
And that was their last loss on December 8th. They've won 18 games in a row.
Eagles have on
11.
Good matchup, and then they turn around and play Tuesday. But, you know, leaving the league, kind of a chance to go out on top, which I think is important. But then you said they lose money hosting the tournament, the conference?
Not the conference, but the host school normally, from what I've heard from
people. Well, then, to me, why are they doing it then? Yeah, and I know we're not, it's not about the money in high school sports, but still, if you're just every year the host school is losing money,
right,
then they should be reevaluating the conference tournament.
Right, I agree. But moving forward, I'm not too concerned about it, to be honest with you. So,
yeah, well, it's the final year in the league for the Eagles.
And by the way, to say they are changing the format to, I think, try to combat that. Because the issue with that, I think, is just how long it is. I mean, you look at like Mercer County, you know, they send out the thing each day with the games, and it's like, you know, game 22 and game 23. It's like, what in the world? I mean, is this like a 50-team conference? How is there this many games? But anyway, that's another thing.
But I will say, you know, Thursday was the true semifinals. That even though the way you slice it or dice it, when it gets to that kind of level where it truly is then a tournament format where the winners move on to the championship. Like I said, you know, if you haven't been to a game this year, as Mike Shannon would say on the Cardinal Radio Network, may he rest in peace, come on down to the ballpark. There's plenty of seats available.
Yeah, Princeville and Mercer County are both very good teams. And, you know, I know a lot of the times you can look at and say, well, who have they really played? I think both of those teams, you know, you play who's on your schedule. And I think, though, that Mercer County and Princeville are both very quality teams. You know, they're definitely the two best teams in the league. So it should be a really competitive game on two teams that haven't lost in a while. Mercer County's last loss would have been, I think, December 30th against Beecher, and then the last loss Princeville had was against Illini Bluffs, which was back on December 8th. So,
yeah. And the Eagles against Beecher were within striking distance.
Yeah, they were leading in the fourth quarter for a brief period. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so you have that going on, and we'll talk a little bit more about boys basketball seeding, but I want to remind our listeners, so back to the LTC tournament. I know on the program today we're going to hear on Sportsline here later, we're going to hear from Alex Kopions, the head coach of Annawan, the winningest coach in school history, a graduate of the school, played at the state tournament for Annawan back in the day. I think Ryan Brown was his high school coach, who's now at Taylorville and was at one time rumored to be the next head coach at Rock Ridge. We heard all kinds of names. I remember back that story, you know, Tom Siegel from Rock Island, all kinds of names were dropped for that job. And of course, Jordan Harris doing a great job with the Rockets. But Alex Kopion's a good guy.
Coach Kopions is great, yeah.
So he'll be on today, right? Now, remember the one feature we did on him back 5 or 6 years ago with his corn detasseling crew that he led, and they would social media it out, the corn hashtag corn stars, yeah. I remember. So always great to talk with him about that. So he's on the program today.
And the reason why is because this week he became the all-time winningest coach at Annawan. I think he got his 168th win. He's been there 10 years already. Which is crazy, because I remember when I was like a kid, he was a high school player for Annawan. Yeah. So he's, you know, played at the state tournament for Annawan and coached them at the state tournament too. So he just kind of talks about, like, you know, his career coaching and what kind of Annawan basketball is about and what it means to him. Because we talked about this on the broadcast when they played Mercer. I got 93 kids in that school. That's it this year, 93. And they had 13 kids on the varsity boys basketball roster Thursday night, and then they had 7 cheerleaders. That's like almost 25% of their student body was there on Thursday night. And to me, it's wild that they're able to, you know, they're 20-4 now, and to be able to have the success. I think they've had 5 20-win seasons in the last 10 years. I mean, again, a school that's under 100 kids. I mean, to be able to do that's pretty impressive, no matter, you know, who you're playing or whatever. That would be really tough to do. So I think he does a really good job over there.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm going to talk about this later in the program today with Brian Roosh, but one of the great stories taking place today, Scales Mound, who's had some great recent basketball tradition in the northwest part of the state. They have 80 kids in their school. And they're playing Glenbard West today in Scales Mound, enrollment 2,366. So that relationship was created a couple years ago when Scales Mound went to state for the first time, and that was the year Glenbard West won the 4A state title. So school of 80 taking on a school of 2,366. So they played last year in Glenbard, which is, you know, south suburbs Chicago. But that school, that team's coming to Scales Mound.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is a bitty town that I've been there. And Brian tells a story. They're getting the fire trucks out for the kids when they come there today to participate in that.
And also today, I mean, on like a smaller scale than that, but Rock Ridge is hosting Rocky today. And remember, Rock Ridge last year went to Rock Island and beat them. So that's an interesting matchup. I think that game will tip off around 7 tonight. So that's going to be kind of an interesting score to follow, too, where Rocky might be looking for a little bit of revenge on the Rockets from last season.
Well, and I know...
So, and they're, I think, leading the Big Six by themselves, Rocky.
Yeah. So what did you make of the game last Saturday where Rock Ridge led 14-2, but they committed 19 turnovers, and what was... They got beat by 22 was the final?
62-40. They were trailing by as many as 24.
What was the difference in that game?
Well, to me, I think it was kind of a multitude of things. One... They were coming, Rock Ridge, meaning they were coming off of a game the previous night where they, you know, played a tough game to the wire with Farrard, who's a good team, and beat them by one. And then to get on the bus and travel basically 7 hours round trip, and, you know, that's just, I would think, tough mentally, you know, not even the physical aspect of it. And Beecher's a really good team. And, like, I remember, like, walking in there, I mean, it was one of the more unique like environments you'll see in high school basketball, because it's rare where like everybody in the gym, normally there's like fans for the visiting team too. I mean, there was maybe, you know, 10, 15 people there that were just parents of the Rock Ridge kids cheering for Rock Ridge. And it was like the rest of the gym was just all the way around just black. And like I said on the broadcast, I think that's probably the biggest game Beecher's ever hosted in boys basketball. When you talk about, you know, I think they've won one regional title ever in basketball, and they're, you know, at the time I believe they were 22-0 in coming into that game. And then Rock Ridge, of course, is a program that I think at the small school level everybody around the state recognizes, having been to the state tournament I think 4 times in 8 seasons. Both teams in the top 10. They were, I mean, that place was so loud and energetic, and I think the biggest difference was just like I've never seen Rock Ridge get like bothered by like ball pressure, and that's what happened. I mean, they were like Beecher was running and jumping them and pressuring them in the backcourt, and they just had trouble handling it. And part of the issue, I think, was Landon Wheatley picked up 2 fouls early in the game, and then he didn't play for much of the first half. So it was just kind of a tough night overall. Beecher played really good, and they are a great team, but they, I think, played probably their best game of the year in that game against the Rockets, because they looked like they could win a state title that night. Yeah, I've never seen Rock Ridge look like that.
When you said 19 turnovers, I was like, holy cow, that just doesn't happen that often, that at least in the last 10 to 12 years, to see that type of crooked number. So also on the program coming up later, so today the wrestling postseason gets underway at the IHSA level. And I know Mercer County, they're heading to Knoxville. And then I think Rock Ridge, Orion, and Sherrard, they're up at Fulton. And former head football coach at Mercer County, Nat Zunkel reached out to me earlier this week, and he said, hey, Paulie's going to officiate at the sectional where Mercer County's at. So Mercer County feeds into the Olympia sectional. So Paul Zunkel's a junior in high school now. Junior in college at Illinois Wesleyan. He's the oldest of the Zunkel boys. I think he was like in 7th grade or 8th grade when they moved. But it's great. I'm going to have him on. He'll be on the air today. And a young official.
That's awesome.
Already doing a sectional. And again, he started doing wrestling officiating, I think, when he was a junior in high school, he said, because he got injured. So he's 5 or 6 years in and already getting a sectional assignment. And he really, I recorded the interview earlier this week, and he really did a great job, you know, explaining why he got into the profession, why he's doing it. He told me, I asked him, you'll hear the interview, I said, what do you make at one of the big invites on the weekend? He said, about $300. I said, wow. And then he's a kid that really is passionate about the profession. So it'll be great to get Paul's uncle on. And, you know, we've been talking about participation numbers in a lot of different sports, whether it be girls basketball. I know I've heard some stuff about wrestling. And it's interesting, Brian Roosh, he told me this off the air this week when I talked to him. Dakota has just 8 varsity wrestlers this year. And you look at the tradition of that program and you just kind of wonder, man, what's going on with some of the stuff across the state. So, oh, and by the way, too, I jotted down, I thought it was great that Chad Weeks tagged me in a post last week about Sportsline, and he said he always loves listening to the, so this is for posterity's sake,
yeah,
that he always loves listening to the open of Sportsline. Yeah. So
I'm sure a lot of people do too,
my
man.
My goal in life is to be on Mirko Movie Guys, the podcast that he hosts with Clint Chaffer, because I want to review the movie, either The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller or There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. All right, so it's great to hear stuff like that. Now, you said...
Well, one other thing I want to mention before we get to whatever we're going to next. So Shelby Bowman for West Central, who I guess we can call a friend of the program because she's been on this year, had another night where she had a great performance. They lost to West Hancock this week, but 72-66 was the final. She scored 55. 10 three-pointers. 55 points in a 32-minute game by herself.
And I saw that box score and just like the numbers in the box score.
It's hilarious to look at, yeah.
So good for her. I just wish they would have won that game where she scores 55. So speaking of like Henderson County and that area, I do want to mention Sean Temple at WRAM, WMOY, who is probably... when it's all said and done, is the best guy in local radio.
Yep, he is.
So I'm not afraid to say that. And all the powers that are be here, they're going to be mad that I said a guy at WMOI, WRAM is the best radio guy.
Well, no, because Vanessa was in here the other
day. Yeah, that's right. But I love Sean Temple. He had a little health scare. I know he's all right, but just thinking about him and wishing him well. And I think I saw where he hopes to be back at it Wednesday, I believe. This next Wednesday.
Good.
So it'll be good to see Sean Temple out and about again. So I'm assuming we'll cross paths in the postseason with his coverage of Monmouth Roseville. All right. So you said before we came on the air today that you wanted to talk a little boys basketball seating. Is that taking place this week or next week?
This week. So it'll be out on Thursday and then the bracket Friday of this coming week.
Okay. So
because the girls was this past couple days.
Yeah. So, who has key Tuesday games? So Mercer County has 2 key games today and tomorrow, or today and Tuesday, playing Princeville back to back.
And Macomb has 2 big games. They play Rock Falls today, and then they play IVC Tuesday.
Oh,
so they have a chance if they win those 2 games to really bolster their like argument late. So, I think that those 2 games that Mercer County will play against Princeville and the 2 games Macomb has against Rock Falls and IVC, I think could determine a lot in terms of where kind of people line up at in that kind of 2 through 4 area.
So you want to do the seeding here before these games?
Yes, before.
Okay.
There's
11 seeds in this subsectional complex.
Yeah. Do you want me to go first or you to go first?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay, so
you're
what
the
we
expert
did,
on this.
What
staff.
We did was we both are seeding the local boys basketball subsectional 1 through 11, how we would do it if we were had a vote in it, right? That's and this is before Saturday's game. So this could potentially change by the time I think it's due on like Wednesday or Thursday. So you can go ahead and go first, 1 through 11.
Okay, so just to let the listeners know how this works.
Because we're the experts, we're going to tell you how it works.
So, again, the two, I'm just saying, the 2 regional hosts are in the subsectional. So when people, because some people don't know the definition. So, subsectional is basically 2 regionals.
Correct.
Is basically what it is. So, there's 11 teams in this subsectional that features 2 regionals. The 2 regional sites are Monmouth, Roseville, and Farmington.
Mm-hmm.
So, just so the listening audience knows, the top 4 seeds, 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're split.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining seeds, which I don't like, are split out, filtered based on geography after that.
I agree with that. I wish they just
I don't like that. And I wish they'd seed the whole sectional complex. I think there's so much room, because that's similar to what they do in football. If it's a sectional complex, that's also almost the same as a quadrant.
Right.
But yeah. we can argue that. All right, so you want me to name the 11 teams first?
Yes.
So here are the 11 teams in the field. Mercer County, Canton, Farmington, Kewaunee, Knoxville, Macomb, Monmouth-Roseville, Orion, Alleman, Sherrard, and Rock Ridge.
Okay.
So we get to speak to our methodology if we're going to debate any of this or we're going to argue this.
Right.
So I say clear number one is Rock Ridge.
Correct.
And I have a little bit of a sleeper with the second seed of the subsectional.
Okay, yeah. You just go down. Yeah.
Well, and I have it kind of a tie between the two seeds, but I'm going to be a homer because I live in the Mercer County School District. My kids went to the school there. Yeah. So I'm seeding Mercer County second. I am. And I think a lot of that determines on this week. If they sweep Princeville,
Right. Those
are two, in my opinion, they're two quality wins, and they have some other quality wins this year on their schedule. And you said it. They had the Beecher Bobcats down in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And I'm basing it on... You also have to look at the issue of, are you fully healthy 100%?
Right, but okay. There,
well, you, in my opinion, that's part of the seeding process, because if you're at full strength, right, you're a better team.
Yeah.
If you're not at full strength and some of your players aren't playing, are you a top whatever seed? I don't know.
But you don't know if...
Well, I know,
right.
But
so anyway,
there's question
just
mark. So I have Sherrard 3.
Yeah.
I'm saying my switch on that is I live in the Mercer County School District, so don't get mad at me, Alex Johnson.
Yeah.
I got Macomb 4.
Okay.
And then I take Kewaunee 5, narrowly, because I think they're potentially dangerous and could easily be a top 4.
Right, I agree, too. Seed. And they beat Macomb.
I go Monmouth-Roseville 6.
Yeah.
I go Orion 7, who scored a win over Farmington. 8, I go the Farmers. 9, the Little Giants of Canton. My alma mater, the Alleman Pioneers, seeded 10th. And then the Knoxville Blue Bullets, 11th.
Okay, so the only switch that me and you have is I have Sherrard at 2 and Mercer County at 3. So the way I go down is 1, Rock Ridge. They've beaten everybody, right, like you said. I have Sherrard at 2, Mercer County at 3, Macomb at 4, and then Kewaunee 5, Monmouth-Roseville 6, Orion 7, Farmington 8, Canton 9, Alleman 10, Knoxville 11. And I can see your argument on Mercer County. And quite frankly, Sherrard, Mercer County, and Macomb, any of those three schools that end up getting seeded second, I would be fine with, because I think there's an argument for all of them. But the reason I, as of today on Saturday, have Sherrard over Mercer County, now this could change, but the reason I have that is because I think their resumes are very similar, but Sherrard beat them head-to-head. And I think that's kind of the ultimate, like, tiebreaker. Is like, okay, they played similar schedules. I think Sherrard's schedule is a little tougher than Mercer County's. But, like I said, very similar resumes when you stack it up, but Sherrard beat them. And it's the same way with Mercer County and Macomb, where they have very similar resumes too. But Mercer County beat Macomb, so I don't think Macomb should be seated above Mercer County. Although, if Macomb sweeps Rock Falls and IVC, I could see them jumping to 2, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And
like I said, I think 1 is definitely Rock Ridge. 2 through 4 are definitely Sherrard, Mercer County, Macomb in some order, right? I think Kewaunee's definitely 5. Monmouth-Roseville's... I think you can kind of see... The only up in the air for me is the 2 through 4. I think.
Yeah. Well, and so it's interesting. So this is the one thing that I don't like with the IHSA. It has nothing to do, because we live in a world of technology. So back in the day, coaches would get together, and this is what Brian Rusch and I talk about today. They would get together and have these conversations at the seating meeting.
Well, yeah, you I think that would be good.
You don't do that anymore.
Right.
You just do it online, and there's a give and take of the information of defending your team or not defending your team,
right,
in terms of where you're at heading into the postseason. But there's a lot to be decided here between now and next Tuesday.
I think when you look at the seeding, I don't think it really is as important as people make it out to be, because you're going to be playing the same teams anyway. And I think the top 7 or 8 teams in that subsectional all could beat each other on any given night. I honestly think so. Maybe not a couple couldn't beat Rock Ridge, but I think outside of... But definitely 1 through 6, I think, could all beat each... Like, the semifinal games of both regionals will be very competitive games,
yeah,
all of them.
They're going to be great.
You know, when you look at, like, you know, potential, like, semifinal games in those regionals could be, you know, like, put maybe Macomb versus Monmouth-Roseville, and Rock Ridge against Orion, and Mercer County against Kewaunee, and Sherrard against Farmington. Those are all potential games that I think could happen. Those would all be really good competitive games, I think.
Well, and then wherever you throw who's ever in that Monmouth-Roseville field playing in that gym,
correct,
in the postseason, yeah, is going to be bananas playing in that small gym. And that's, if there's a potential, like, Mercer County Rock Ridge game at the Shoebox.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the amount of people that aren't going to be able to probably get into that gym? All right. Anything else before we get to our interviews today, or is that it?
It'll be interesting to see. So you, as of now, have Mercer County above Sherrard.
Yeah.
That's going to annoy a lot of people over there. Well, they're going to say, we beat them!
Well, I said it was kind of a tie.
Right.
But I live in the Mercer County School District where I pay my taxes.
Yeah.
And my kids have gone to school. I got 3 graduates of that proud institution,
right,
and one that's going to be a freshman next year.
Right.
So that's,
now, like I said, I think any of those 3 schools, Mercer County, Macomb, Sherrard, could be seated anywhere through 2-4.
Well, but even though, you know, we sit here and argue about is it a win? So we talk about Mercer County. Did they beat Beecher?
No.
No, right? And we talk about, well, Sherrard was in the game here.
They lost.
They didn't win.
Right. No, I agree. And I think
they did beat Mirko head-to-head. Yes. But when was that? Early December?
Late December. It was the last game before Christmas.
Yeah. And there's just, and you know, the injury, the mojo, and just kind of where you're at hanging. And you never know.
Right. I think the games, like, you can say the injury or whatever and the mojo, but the games still have to count.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can have these subjective arguments all day long.
And I think that if, like you said, if you play a close game and you lose, to me that doesn't mean a whole lot because you still lost. It's a loss at the end of the day. And I know a competitive loss looks better than getting blown out, but still, like you know, Sherrard played Rock Ridge a 1-point game and Macomb played Rock Ridge a 3-point game, but they still lost. And Sherrard played Byron close, but they lost. So that doesn't do a lot for me in terms of seeding. Mercer County played Beecher close, but lost, right? So that's the way I look at it.
Huh, I agree. Well, then if you look at it, potentially, you know, if Sherrard splits with Rock Ridge.
Yeah, they could have an argument to be one.
And then they beat, and if they could have won, beat Byron.
Yeah.
But now, you know, a couple losses here and a couple, so they lose to Riverdale, they lose to Morrison,
right,
but they could have had early season wins over Byron and potentially Rock Ridge in one of the games.
Then
what happened?
That's the one thing that Coach Johnson said, is he's like, you know, I mean, you know, the Byron game went to overtime and then they lost to Rock Ridge by 1, where if you look at, we were a couple bounces away from, like you said, we wouldn't be arguing anything about them. We'd be arguing if they were the 1 seed, right, if that had happened. But the bounces didn't go their way or whatever, and they lost, so they don't have that argument. But I still, as of today, and again, this could change, if Mercer County sweeps Princeville, I might shift them to 2.
Okay.
But also, but then if Macomb wins their 2 games, though, you could argue they should be 2. Because Rock Falls, if they beat Rock Falls, Mercer County and Sherrard both have not beat a team that's better than Rock Falls, in my opinion. I think that would do a lot for Macomb. So we'll see. That's a big game for them today, too.
All right. All right, well, let's get to our interviews. We're going to hear from Paulie's uncle. Man, a great high school wrestling official. Grew up here in town. His dad, of course, former head football coach. And then Alex Kopions. Also have a segment with Brian Roosh. And then later today, Eagles play for a championship in the LTC tournament, taking on the Princes of Princeville. This is the WMJ Sportsline.
Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner can always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Hey, I know last week on Sportsline, we were promoting young people officiating. We had a junior in high school that was officiating junior high volleyball. That was Kennedy DeBailey. And we're going to stay with that theme this weekend, and we're going to bring back a great name. We remember the Zunkel family, specifically Paul Zunkel. He was the oldest of the boys, now a junior at Illinois Wesleyan, and we see some of the IHSA postseason assignments for high school wrestling, and we see the name Paul Zunkel. Is that you, Paul Zunkel, officiating IHSA wrestling?
Yes, sir, I am. It's been going well.
So tell us a little bit about how kind of you got involved in this profession.
Right, absolutely. So I've been obviously growing up in Aledo, been wrestling, big wrestling, football town, been wrestling, playing all my life. We moved up to McHenry my summer of eighth grade year. So I was about, I think, 13, 14, and been wrestling there. And my sophomore year, I injured myself wrestling. I dislocated my knee, had a big surgery. And then the next year, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew football was my main sport. I wanted to stick with that. But, you know, talking with, you know, coaches at McHenry and officials around that area, decided to get into officiating. So I've been an official since my junior year of high school. Now I'm a junior in college. So this is about to be done with my fifth year of officiating high school, junior high, and IKWF wrestling.
Yeah. So in terms of kind of getting involved, was it a situation where, well, no, you know, it's nice kids have a part-time job while they're in high school or college and you get paid, but you know, you mentioned your interest in wrestling. Is it something where you feel I really still want to be a part of the sport and I can do that by officiating?
Yes, absolutely. My coach at the time at McHenry, Coach Guadalabeni, he was my 0 hour strength coach, and I was just like, Coach, I don't know what I want to do. I want to be involved, but I don't know if my knee can take it, things like that. And he's like, well, get you up there. Mike Kirkus, who's another known name official in the sport. And I started shadowing him and then decided to get my, you know, license. It's a very good opportunity because you're seeing, you know, different guys, different coaches, and, you know, you're giving back to the sport of wrestling. You know, I couldn't, you know, give back that last year as of high school to wrestling, but I could give that officiating aspect and help out, you know, with the youth of the sport growing.
So you're a junior at Illinois Wesleyan. That school is located in Bloomington. Tell us, so how busy do you stay with your wrestling schedule then officiating?
So I'm very busy. Coming down as a freshman, didn't know much people, but Dan Fulcher down here, he got me involved with officiating, and he's been a state official for a long time, and he has signs. But, you know, right now I'm working, you know, 4 to 5 dates a week, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday type deal, where Saturdays are more the tournaments and during the nights, kind of the duels, and Sunday we have the kids tournament. But, you know, I'm staying busy, staying diligent. So, yeah, I mean, I love working, you know, always on your toes.
And then you said when you first started, you were shadowing an official. So how important do you think that is in part of the process? Because I know when I was talking to this young lady from Orion last week, you know, she explained, hey, they don't just give you the whistle here and say, hey, go out and, you know, officiate this volleyball match. You know, they pair you with somebody and there's a learning curve. You're not in it on your own. Can you kind of explain how that worked for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So just starting off at any level of IHSA, officiating any sport, you do like a rules interpretation, rules review, where there's different rules interpreters we have. So you kind of start out maybe late October, mid-October, you're going to go, you know, what is wrestling at the start? You know, as a wrestler, you think, oh, you know, okay, that's a takedown, that's that. But there's so many more, much more rules that go into it. So they really, you know, hone down and explain to us what, like, you know, certain calls are and why we call it that way and, you know, how to look presentable, things like that. So once you go through that phase, especially in your first few years, you're going to be, you know, most of the time paired up with an older official, experienced official. So like mine was Mike Kirkus from McHenry. And, you know, I just kind of go shadow. It was just, he was officiating. He's talking through some of these calls, why it's that way, why it's two, why it's not two. You know, do I have a loss of control? Do I have stalling? And, you know, really explaining that, because if you just throw yourself, you know, out there, okay, you know, you're just an official, you know, here, go officiate a match. You know, you don't really have that experience from those upper level officials or experienced officials. So by starting with, you know, being with those experienced guys, you know, you're now talking to yourself, why do I have two in this situation? Why do I have this call? And it plays a, you know, vital role, not only in your, how you're brought up, but I'm sure the nice lady who officiates from Orion, the volleyball, you know, you gotta be a sponge your first few years. You know, you're always asking questions. Why is it called this way? Well, if I have this move, you know, when do I have the two or the near fall? You know, it's just many situations, and you always got to ask questions because you want to be, or for me personally, and I hope that's the state of officials in Illinois, you always want to be 100% correct. I know we're not always 100% correct, but that's how we work up and, you know, talk to assigners and rules interpreters and different things like that.
Yeah, and that's the one thing you have to accept, that you're not going to be perfect and you're not going to get every call right. I think most veteran officials even agree with that assessment. So, you know, we talk about staying close to the sport that you love. That's a big part of it, right? But, you know, the other neat thing, and I know all officials, the good ones, they say, hey, I don't do it to get paid. But it is nice that you get paid for something you love. So there may be some, you know, youngsters out there listening that may be like you that are junior in high school now, and they're hearing you. And they say, hey, man, officiating high school wrestling or whatever the sport may be, this is something that I'm really interested in doing. So if you're doing, you know, maybe four nights or, you know, four or five events a week, you're getting some nice income as a college student, I would think. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, even guys in high school now, around the Bloomington area, we have obviously have a bunch of normal schools. The Sunday kids tournaments, which is through IKWF USA Wrestling. You know, obviously they're wrestling all week, so they can't commit to that. But the Sundays, you know, they're there, you know, wanting to give back to the sport. And they're, you know, you're walking by, hey, how you doing? You know, it's just like, hey, I love this. You know, this is fun, you know. And you get the chance to talk to them and be like, hey, you know, why'd you call this call? Or why'd you make that call? This is why. Okay, great, you know. And then you're just, especially with the experienced officials that are on those Sundays kids tournaments, you know, they're like, okay, maybe if we fix your technique here. So even that little, maybe one day a week commitment that you do makes a whole lot of impact to the sport of wrestling and working up, not only in, you know, your officiating world, but obviously the income world, you know?
Yeah. So I'm just curious. So because some people out there listen and say, well, ask him what he gonna get paid. So like, give me, and you don't have to name schools, but for example, say if you do a big high school invite on a Saturday, what's kind of the going rate for that?
Probably a couple hundred to maybe for bigger tournaments, 300.
Wow.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's a very, you know, fortunate thing going. And, you know, as you work up in those higher levels, you know, it's just, you know, the money's more because you're, you know, you're working harder. It's, officiating is hard, especially, you know, wrestling. You're up, down, you're doing, I mean, one ref even told me, you know, you've probably done a couple thousand burpees this season, you know, getting down, looking up for pins and whatnot. I was like, oh yeah, that, you know, that's true. And, you know, you're getting a good workout, but you're also getting paid well for what you do.
All right. So the one great thing for a kid that's only been doing it for 5 years, and I was tipped off to this, your dad, who, of course, former head football coach and athletic director at Mercer County, said, Paulie's going to be officiating where the Mercer County Golden Eagles are at in postseason wrestling. So is this your first postseason assignment wrestling, or have you done that before? And just, you know, I know you probably don't know many of the kids anymore, but it's still kind of a cool situation that you're going to be doing some IHSA postseason. What about that?
Right. Absolutely. So I had my first, so wrestling goes regional, sectionals, state for individual wise. And I got my first regional assignment 3 years ago. I was up at El Paso for that regional. And then this year I'm at Gibson City. And then I received my first boys sectional this year. And that will be at Olympia, where not only Mercer County will be, but, you know, 40, 45 other teams there. So, you know, fortunate enough to get those, you know, assignments. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. You got to be that sponge. You got to soak up this information. You got to be communicative with coaches, you know, wrestlers, you know, things like that. You can't just step on the mat and, you know, just kind of have this, you know, attitude with you. You got to be, you know, welcoming, you know, if kid has locked hands, you know, explain to him why he has locked hands, or you know, if coach brings you to the table, you always be respectful. It's different things like that, which helps you work up.
Have you kind of gained a new appreciation then for the profession? Because it's one thing when you're a competitor, right? And you're a student athlete competing on the mat. And maybe you don't think about, well, you know, this guy's got a job to do. He's officiating, but now you have that lens on. So, I mean, is that something in terms of, I don't know, looking at how you kind of assess the job of official? I'm sure your probably opinion has changed a little bit now that you're in the thing, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you kind of, you know, when you're wrestling or different things, I remember, you know, I wrestled at the IESA state in my eighth grade year. And, you know, I was kind of bitter after a certain match because I didn't really appreciate the call the official made. And, you know, going back and watching the video a few years ago when I got into officiating, I was like, you know what, that's a great call. Because as a wrestler, you want to win every match. You want this to go your way, you know, every time. But, it's not. That's the thing about it. You know, officials, they have a hard job because especially when you're by yourself without an assistant, you know, are we in, are we out for a takedown, near fall, situations like that. But, you know, just appreciating those officials and what they do. And, you know, it's just, it's a hard task, but, you know, executing and, you know, working hard is just, I mean, you go so far. I mean, you start, you know, as a wrestler and you're like, oh, you know, whatever. I, you know, maybe you don't like a certain, you know, coach or team or official you're against. You're like, oh, I got to do this, whatnot. But, you know, it comes down to you against the other person, green versus red. You know, the official's just there to make the correct calls. And, you know, you appreciate so much of what officials you used to have and then now have and now you're working with for my personal thing. It's just, you know, it's a very good, you know, opportunity. And yes, to answer your question, I'm much more appreciative of the officials than I have been in the past when I was just a wrestler.
Yeah, and I know that's a tough job. There's no question about it, because I sit and stand sometimes and I hear, you know, usually the loudest people are sometimes the most educated and uneducated in terms of interpreting, you know, what the right call is in any sport. And then coaching is tough too, you know, and did you pick anything up from your dad? You know, he's a coach, so you have to deal with a lot of different things in that profession too. How much do you think maybe that helped you a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously growing up being on the sideline as a ball boy for the Golden Eagles, you know, not seeing him yell too much, obviously, you know, yelling and being, you know, constructive criticism to those kids and athletes who are out there, but you know, he's not always running over the official, rah, 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 rah. You know, focus on the next play, focus on this and that. And I think, you know, within the sport of wrestling, you know, we're down officials the last few years. This year we have, I think, 516 registered officials across the state. And then pre-COVID, about, you know, late in the 2010s, we were like in the 900s. So the officiating rate was down for a bit. Now we're kind of seeing it go back up. But coaches play a big role in that. You know, it's just if you're starting out for your first time and you're uncertain of how to do a certain call or different things, you know, instead of just barking from the corner, be coach brings you to the table, you know, hey, buddy, I know you're new, you know, maybe this should be the way it's called or that. And then, you know, right away, you know, after that meet, duel, tournament, whatever, you can go in your rules book and, you know, dive into that. But I mean, even from watching the, you know, Eagles grow up, and I think it was more directed at the players rather than the officials, because again, they're just there to officiate. They're not, you know, they're not the quarterback. They're not throwing the pass, you know, focus on your players, your wrestlers, your athletes. And, you know, that really, one, helps grow the sport. And two, it really, you know, eases some of that, you know, internal stress or anxiety that officials may have when they're having certain teams and groups.
All right. Speaking with Paul Zunkel, of course, his father, the former football coach and athletic director here, Nat Zunkel, and Paulie Jr. now at Illinois Wesleyan. So he moved from Aledo after his seventh grade year. So this is how we can end it, Paul Zunkel. And again, great example, right? A great example here for youngsters to get involved in officiating any sport. This kid that loved wrestling, he's officiating wrestling. Started 5 years ago. That's impressive. Already assigned to a sectional as a junior in college. Way to go, Paul Zunkel. So I was going to ask you then, so when you look at kind of your professional development in this sport, officiating it, it was, you know, when you look at a certain call or something, and I guess maybe the better question is, what kind of rule do you think most general fans, now, you know, wrestling can be a complicated sport for a lot of people who don't watch it all the time, right? So what do you think is the, just in your 5 years of doing this, kind of the most misinterpreted rule from a fan standpoint, do you think?
Me, I would say probably stalling. You know, stalling has been more talked about in the last few years. More, we're pushing towards a new, you know, if the wrestler's not working, you know, obviously, you know, he could be stalling, but because we want that wrestling to stay in the center, we want action in, we don't want, you know, stoppage every time, because one, it makes the matches longer, which makes the tournament longer, and the duels. So stalling is really, you know, advanced. And, you know, obviously you were saying fans, coaches, you know, I push for them. I am 100% behind them to know those certain rules of stalling, or, you know, why certain things are called, because stalling is one, a judgment call. So it's completely up to the ref's judgment. And, you know, two, it's just, it's going to help that sport. The two wrestlers, obviously red and green, just kind of going after it in the center rather than, you know, backing out of bounds or certain things that we may see.
All right. Well, man, I loved it when the Zunkel boys were running up and down the sideline as youngsters with their dad coaching. And I just remember how nervous Paulie's uncle would make me get so nervous, because he'd always bite his fingernails on the sideline next to his dad. So I love that. And I know Luke and Will are so beloved as well in this town. I always remember seeing them at the Fenton Park pool back in the day too. Paulie, great, man. Great talking to you. And it's so awesome you're doing this. And I know some of our wrestling fans may be headed to the Olympia sectional. They'll say that, I think I recognize that guy. And now you'll know it's Paulie's uncle from Aledo back in the day. It's great talking to you, Paul. Keep up the good work officiating, and good luck with your final 2 years at Illinois Wesleyan.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Again, Paul's uncle, great to see him. Great to talk with him. Again, grew up in Aledo, now at Illinois Wesleyan. And you're listening to W. Armchay.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com talking now with Anawan boys basketball coach Alex Kopion. So we'll start, Coach Kopions, with this. Earlier this week, I saw you won your 168th game, which put you as the all-time winningest coach in Anawan boys basketball history. You played at Anawan when you were in school, now the head coach in your 10th year. So what did that mean to you, seeing that you are now kind of atop the leaderboard in terms of all-time wins with coaches in the Anawan Braves boys basketball program?
It's Anawan basketball has been a part of my life for as far back as I can remember. So, for me, first of all, it was a surprise. I didn't really have any idea that I was even close to being the all-time winningest coach at Anawan. Had no idea, so it was a nice surprise. It's been a part of my life for a really, really long time, as far back as I can remember. And it's a special feeling, but it's also a credit to every player that I've had the fortune to be able to coach. I've been very, very lucky with great kids, with great families and great support systems. And, I couldn't be happier to be a part of a community that's been everything I've known for as long as I've lived. So it's special.
Well, yeah, you talk about kind of the tradition of Anawan basketball. Now, you as a player played at the state tournament. You've coached Anawan at the state tournament as well. So can you speak a little bit just kind of to the tradition of small school basketball at Anawan? And like you said, what kind of the program means and means to you specifically?
For me, it goes back to, personally, it just goes back to my mom and dad. My mom was a part of the 1978 women's team or girls team that beat Sterling and went to a super sectional. My dad was a really good player in his own right. They both graduated in 1978, class of 78 in Anawan. And so I think I was kind of, I think the young kids say you're built for this. I think I was literally built for this to be the head coach of this program. And I'm very lucky to be a part of it. But, that's just my personal background. And I've had aunts and uncles who have played in this program, both, the boys program and girls program. So it's a part of me. It's a big part of me. And I think, in terms of the tradition, we just take a lot of pride in not only being representative of really, really small schools, but taking pride in the fact that, we're willing to work for our dreams. And, there's a lot of big dreams that have come through this program of doing great things on and off the court. And I think when you feel that and you're a part of that and you're a part of a great community that supports you in every single way, it makes you want to go out and take pride and give other people within your community a sense of pride as well. And I think it all stems from that. That's kind of your core. And when you get kids who are willing to work hard for you and they're willing to dream big, you want to put your best foot forward and do what's best for them every day.
Well, I like what you said there. Anawan High School is like small school basketball, right? And we were talking before we started, less than 100 kids are in the high school now at Anawan. I think you said something like 2 or 3 years in a row of that. So is there any specific challenge you think leading a program in a school that size where you have basically 90 kids, 90-ish kids in the student body to work with? Have you seen any like challenges with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a multitude of challenges, just in terms of, you know, sheer numbers. A lot of the time we're just kind of fighting that and, you know, trying to encourage kids to go out and encourage kids to stick with it as well. I think that's the big thing. Nowadays, kids, you know, they want instant success. You know, they want to be good right away, and it takes time. And so having our kids, encouraging them to stick with it at a young age, you know, throughout the junior high levels and even younger than that, just stay positive with them and encourage them to, even if they're not so good right now, they can be in the future, and just keep providing that opportunity for them. So I would say numbers, but also to, you know, just generating competition. You know, you look at a high school like Mercer County, you look at a high school like, you know, Princeville, and, you know, some of our bigger schools, it's pretty easy for them to generate competition because you have to work as hard as you can. Otherwise, your spot's going to be taken. You know, someone's going to outwork you, or somebody's going to, you know, show a little flash of something in practice or in the off season, and they're going to take your spot. Here, you know, your numbers are what your numbers are. Fortunately for us, we've been really, really fortunate with great kids who it's already instilled within them to work as hard as they possibly can. They're not, you know, waiting for somebody to want to take their spot for them to kind of kick them in the butt and get going. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's part of the reason why, you know, we've been lucky to have great teams, and it's part of the reason why we've had such success, both the girls and boys program, for a long time.
Well, like we talked about a little bit earlier, this is your 10th season now as the varsity boys basketball coach at Anawan. So if you look back, like from year one as a head coach to year 10 for Alex Kopions, what is maybe you think the biggest lesson that you've learned along the way?
Oh, there's not just one. I mean, I started coaching when I was 23 years old. I mean, you know, it doesn't feel like 10 years. There are days where it feels like 20 plus, and there are days where it feels like it's flown by. You know, this season, it's one of those seasons where it just feels like it's flown by because we've been, again, fortunate with such great kids. And, you know, those are the years that you really want to hang on to and soak up every moment as possibly, or as much as you possibly can. In terms of one major lesson, if I had to boil it down to one, it would probably be patience. You know, as a young coach, you're very impatient, right? Just as your kids are. You want to be the best. You want to be great. You want to have it all happen all at once. Well, life isn't like that. and coaching isn't like that. And teaching isn't like that. And playing isn't like that. So, you know, it's being able to, you know, stay level-headed, you know, not getting too wrapped up in the highs of the season and not too wrapped up in the lows of the season. I'm still working on it every day. That is something that I really have had to work on over the years, is just kind of staying in that middle ground and making sure that, you know, you're focused on your team, you're focused on your guys, and you're focused on every day trying to get them better and improving. So, yeah, I mean, I would say patience is probably the big thing, and I'm still learning a lot.
Well, you've racked up 20 wins again this season here in early February. So tell us a little bit about the 2023-24 Anawan Braves. What have been some of the biggest keys to success for your ball club this season?
I would say the biggest thing with this group is they stay connected. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, offensively and defensively, you never really see us, you know, go our separate ways out there. We're always very connected. We're always making sure that we're taking care of each other. It's an extremely unselfish group, probably to a fault. We almost kind of look for the open man too much, which is not a bad thing. You know, they're just such unselfish kids that they want what's best for the guy that's next to them. You know, they want to be unselfish for their teammates, and they really want to play hard, and they want to show you how hard they work out on the floor. And I think that's really something to commend these days, where you see a lot of kids who are, you know, their first thought process is to point the finger at somebody else, and to make it somebody else's fault. Our kids do a great job of kind of self-reflecting and see what they can do better for the team. And I think, you know, it's those intangibles. It's not something that you can point to on a stat sheet. And I know that sounds like coach speak, but it really is. I mean, they just stay connected. And when you have a team like that, you know, no matter who you play, you always feel like you have a shot.
And that is Anna 1 boys basketball coach Alex Kopions joining us on WRMJ. Coach Kopions, thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning, and good luck the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ty. Appreciate it.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner can always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. All right, a pretty cool game taking place on this Saturday, and I'm going to set up the particulars here. Glenbard West, enrollment 2,322, right? Taking on Scales Mound, enrollment 80. And that school of 2,322 is coming to Scales Mound in the northwestern portion of the state. So again, enrollment 2,322 against a school with an enrollment of 80. What a great story that is, Brian Roosh. Tell us how that came about.
Well, it is a great story, Jim, and it kind of came about a couple of years ago when Scales Mound went to state. Glenbard West was there in 1A and 4A, respectively. Scales Mound, of course, finished third in 1A. Glenbard West won it in 4A. And just through the fact that they shared a hotel and maybe some practice time, the two teams kind of struck up a friendship. So last year, the Hornets made the trip into Glenbard West, and they were in the game for like three quarters and then lost by like 20 points. And they said, next year, come on out. We're going to host you at Scales Mound. We're going to have a pizza party. We're going to drive you around town, show you the sights with fire trucks escorting, and then we're going to play a game. And it's just a fantastic story for multiple reasons, but I think it just goes to show what great friendships you can build in relationships in the game of basketball.
So it's, I think that the neatest part of it is they're coming to Scales Mound. Now, I've been to Scales Mound, and a lot of people haven't, but it's a typical, you know, small town with a, you know, basically the school is kind of the center of the universe for that said small town. So I like that. What you know, those big schools are so accustomed to having those environments where they're playing city schools or metro schools, and now that, as we say, they get to come out to the country, and especially that part of the state that, to me, that the backdrop is just so perfect for small town America. And then I think the other neat part of it is that basketball is a big part of Scales Mound. So I think those people at Glenbard West, they're going to be pretty impressed when they come to town and see, well, this kind of is the only thing in town right now that's going on today, and they're getting the fire trucks out even.
Yeah, it is really cool, and I know we've all made the analogy over the recent years that Scales Mound's kind of like a modern-day Hickory. You know, it's a town that has 400 and some people. Everybody seems to know everybody. Everybody gets along, and when the Hornets are playing, it seems like 87% of the town is in the stands rooting for their team.
Yeah, all right. That's an awesome story taking place today. Again, Glenbard West, a couple years removed from the 4A state title. Their school enrollment, 2,322. Traveling to Scales Mound, a school with an enrollment of 80, and they're playing a basketball game today, and then other things associated with that great game as well. All right, I was going to ask you, too, so we talk about kind of back in the day how things were set up. So, you know, I see the girls, as we record this segment, so the girls' postseason seeds have been announced for the subsectionals, right? And I think the boys in a couple of weeks. And I know they've been doing this for a while now where the seeding is all done online, where the coaches submit the seeds, and then the coaches within that subsectional, they seed the field, and that's how you determine the seeds and then eventually the pairings. Now, back in the day, what always happened? You would get together, the coaches, and they would talk amongst themselves, as they say, and have these debates, and then they would seed basically back in those days, the regional, but now it's the subsectional. I wish they still did that. You know, I know technology is a great thing, but I think we miss a little bit by not getting together and having some of those face-to-face conversations and doing a little better job of kind of defending maybe your team a little bit better and explain, hey, this is how our season has gone, and this loss occurred because of this, but hey, we've avenged that. We've played this team. We're playing much better, whatever. I think you lose that when you just seed online. But I'm assuming, Brian, probably they'll never go back to that.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I agree with you. I like the human factor that goes into those face-to-face meetings, and I understand, you know, time is of the essence. You want to kind of save coaches from another night away from their families and such. But you look at it and you say, hey, you know, how do you ask questions in this situation? Well, coach, were you at full strength that day? Or, you know, what were the factors that led to that loss, you know, or whatever? And also, I think it kind of weakens the relationship a little bit among the coaches. One less opportunity to get together and, you know, kind of hang out and realize that they're all kind of in the same situation and maybe just share some ideas and some, you know, friendship.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, many coaches do miss that. But we've become so dependent on technology, we know how that works. It's like that, you know, basically like when they used to release the IHSA football pairings, the playoff pairings, it was like basically waiting for, you know, the election returns back in the day before automation. You know, I miss that a little bit, too, but technology is there to bail us out. All right, a fun day today. Brian mentioned, again, that great game between Scales Mound and Glenbard West, and we're really rolling along with this high school sports season as we flip the calendar to February. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo, and this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
That'll do it for the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Later today, coverage of the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament for Mercer County High School, both the third place game and the championship game. Of course, the championship game tonight featuring the Mercer County Golden Eagles and the Princeville Princes will play again Tuesday night. Coverage around 6:30 for the championship game, but it could run a little bit earlier. So again, Mercer County tonight playing for the LTC tournament title against Princeville. For J102 Sports, I'm Jim Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.